Well, praise the Lord. Hello, everyone. Good morning. So nice to see you all. And I know quite a few of you, so it's just a joy. I have a little surprise in here. So I had to bring up my bag. I don't want to give it away. Let's pray together. Let's just talk to the Lord. Lord, we just come before you today with our hearts. Lord, wide open. What do you want to say to us, Lord? So many of us in this room, Lord, have issues or struggles, maybe things in our hearts and on our lives that only you know. And Lord, we just lay our lives before you. Open the eyes of our hearts. Open our ears. We ask your Holy Spirit to speak to us, and may we as women arise and hear your voice and do what you're calling us to do. We just pray, and Lord, just use my words and just direct my thoughts. Give me clarity of mind. And I pray, God, everyone would be encouraged and they would look to you, Lord, as their example. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to take a look at the book of Judges. Judges chapter 4 and 5. Now, Judges is basically a historical book, okay? And it's the account of God leading his people. And Judges is placed there with the beginning of the death of Joshua. So I'm just trying to give you a little bit of a background. Okay, so the death of Joshua. And then at the end of the book of Judges, it's the end of Samson's life. So, can anyone name a few judges in the book of Judges? Deborah? Samuel? The other ones are kind of quiet. Well, Samson, right? I mentioned that. Ehud. So, in the book of Judges, we have a pretty interesting cycle. God's people stray away from his word, from his teachings, into idolatry, into sin. Then God's people are oppressed, and God allows enemies to come in and cause havoc. And then we have the third thing, God's people cry out, and then the Lord delivers them. So it's a bit of a cycle. And I think sometimes we feel like that, don't we? You know, our lives, it's like everything's going good. Well, I don't need God, you know. Oh, I'm just going to do my own thing. And then things go wrong. Oh, God, help me, help me. I know that's me. the judges, they were the ones that prayed to the Lord, and they were the ones that proclaimed the word of the Lord. So let's take a look. I found a little video clip, and I think I like pictures. Does anyone like that? Like, don't give me a cookbook with no pictures. Yeah. I need pictures, right? Anyone on Pinterest? Yes, I'm on there every so often. I get good ideas. You get recipes. You get all kinds of things. And I find, like, just visually hearing the word and then seeing pictures helps. So let's watch this clip of the story of Deborah, chapter 4 of Judges. And thank you, Jen, our wonderful techie in the back. What a ministry.
Thank you. Go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor, with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please, give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone in there, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him.
Why did I pick Deborah? I was like, so we had a meeting, and I, different people, all of us here, and, you know, what would you like to speak on? Deborah. What was I thinking, Ruth? Wow, what a story. Talk about radical. Whoa. Okay, so Deborah, appointed by God, a judge under divine direction. She's wise, decisive, courageous, known because of her faith. She's a counselor. Okay, so people come. And I think of, remember the story way back with Moses, how he was getting bombarded in the beginning with all people's concerns, and his father-in-law said, "Hey, you got to have people to come. Let's get you people like judges, and 70 of them, and then they will help deal with the disputes." So that's what this reminds me of too, this, you know, disputes and conflict resolution. And she's a heroic leader. And I think, like, today, like, I don't know if you read books, or I think of, like, Jo of Little Women, or, Joan of Arc. She was well known, you know, like a female leader. And then some of these modern, I don't know if any of you have seen Avengers, or these female, almost like gods, you know. The world is attracted to the supernatural, right? They like that. And so, but we have God's word, which is true and awesome. And so it's like, whoa, this is better than the comic books. Amazing. Now, this is interesting. When I'm doing my studying and I'm reading different commentaries, and I'm thankful that, we're able to look up books and study. And I have a shelf in the living room, and it was just full of books, and it didn't look very designer-ish. And so I said to my husband, "We got to get rid of all these books and put them in the basement because I need to make it look pretty." Well, those are all his commentaries, books. So when I'm looking for books, I'm looking through all these bins, and I found, but one commentator, or a few of them, mentioned that when we say the woman or the wife of Lapidus, it's actually wife and woman are the same word that is used here in the original. And Lapidus is actually a feminine plural word, which likely she was not married. We have in our translations wife, some of us, But it's more likely, Lapidoth means lamps. And so it could be that she was a keeper in the house of the Lord in the tabernacle, because they didn't have the actual temple yet. So she might have trimmed the wicks or made wicks for the lamps in the house of the Lord. The other thing is illuminations. She might have been a woman of illuminations, meaning supernatural wisdom or splendor. So you get the idea that she's not... And they don't mention her husband at all, only in that part where they just say wife of, but wife and woman are the same word there. So it's quite interesting. Deborah, the word, means bee. So I think of busy bee, you know. And in some of the teachings in the Torah, on the Torah, the Hebrew people are referred to like bees, that they are in a swarm. And they follow each other. They all go together in a swarm. So I thought that was interesting. Now, Deborah also is a prophetess. This gets really wild to me. In the sense that she's speaking the truth of God, right? And she has divine knowledge. So when you look at Bible prophecy, two-thirds of the prophecy is forthtelling, like proclaiming the glories of God, the proclaiming his works, celebration who he is. And then a third is foretelling, meaning telling what can happen in the future. And you see, in the world, there's always copycats. The devil likes to copy everything. And so we have fortune telling. That's different. That's where the source of that is not godly. It's the devil. That's the source of the fortune telling. And I've run into people in my line of work and different people that have said, oh, but I went to a fortune teller, or I had my tarot cards read, or I saw a ghost. And I'll say, okay, yeah, okay. And we talk about it. And I'll say, but what's the source of that power? This is not God's power. This is the devil. And the devil has knowledge too. Right? They go and they get a fortune read, and there's some truth in there, because the devil is, you know, he's fighting for souls. And our world, again, is attracted to the supernatural. So in the Old Testament, God anointed prophets, priests, and kings and judges for specific tasks. Remember Samson, when he kills, it says the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and right? And then he's back to normal and he goes into sin, and right? So in the Old Testament, there's parts where it says like the Holy Spirit came upon him and they did miraculous or the supernatural, right? So here we have Miriam as a prophet. Now we say prophetess. So prophet is more like the masculine. Prophetess is more of the feminine. There are other women in the Bible that were often also called prophetesses, okay? Miriam, remember when she sings with Moses, and after they get out of, they escape from Egypt, there's Huldah, she's a prophetess, and she actually, in 2 Kings, foretells what's going to happen to the children of Israel. There'll be disaster. In Isaiah, there's a not named prophetess. Luke 2, Anna, remember when she gets to see baby Jesus in the temple? She wasn't going to leave the temple until she saw that baby. And that was clear to her. Philip's four daughters in Acts 21 were prophesying. They'd prophesy. So there's a lot we don't understand and a lot we don't know. But it's rich. Chapter 4, Jabin, the king of Canaan. Now, do we remember about the Canaanites? You know, where they come from, who they are. Canaan, the grandson of Noah. Okay, yeah, I got, yeps. Okay, and remember when Noah was exposed, if I should say. And the it's not Ham that was cursed, but the descendants of Ham, which is Canaan. So there is a curse put upon them. So this is who the children of Israel are up against. Pretty humbling. 900 chariots of iron. 900 chariots of iron. And you think about, here they are, the Israelites, they are oppressed. One reading, it said, when I read, they were so afraid to go outside. They were so terrified. But in the end, these chariots are coming forth. And Josephus, one of the early church fathers, says there were at least, he figures there was at least 300 footmen and 10,000 horsemen on top. So you can see just piling up. They're getting ready to have a huge, huge fight here. And you know, when I was reading through it right away, I think of that scripture about chariots. You know, where is our trust? Do we trust in our own power, our chariots? You know, some trust in chariots and other in horses. I think of horsepower. I have a son that likes cars. And he likes to redo cars and do stuff. And I said to him one day, I said, you know what, honey? Don't put your trust in your car, because it becomes, you know. And he's like, yeah, I know. But some of us, we put our eyes on things of the world. We have to be careful. We always want to make sure that we're humble and we ask the Lord to rid us of things that are taking place in our lives over him. Israel cries out, and Deborah calls Barak and summons him. One version says, has not the Lord commanded? Has the Lord given you the word and you're not doing it? But she says it in such a nice way here in my version. Behold, where are we? Oh, and by the way, Deborah would sit under the palm tree. Do you remember seeing that? She's sitting there and she's judging right under the palm tree. So I think of her as sitting, and then she summons him and says, behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men. Boy, that's not very many. 10,000 men? And if you think about chariots of iron and horses, 10,000 men, there's no match for that. Plus 300,000, possibly, plus 10,000 horsemen on top. I will draw out to you Sisera. I will. God does it. Then Barak says, if you will go with me, I will go. And if you don't go with me, Deborah, I will not go. This is radical. Deborah's a woman. Okay. Like, here's a man, a warrior. And why do you think he won't go without Deborah? Because the anointing of God is on her. And she has, and often, you know, he saw who she was and what God was doing. And so he said, and she didn't say, you spineless little, okay, I'll go with you. You know what I mean? She was respectful. I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not fall to you, but I will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Okay, this is really radical. Like, why did I pick the most radical person in for any female in the entire Bible? Especially Old Testament. I'm like, whoa, this was blowing me away, and I was really nervous to talk about this to you guys. Oh, my goodness. Deborah was not even holding back to lead, but she rolled up her sleeves and said, I'll go. Wow. You know, and then I didn't realize that I wore my sleeves up today, and I'm like, wow, okay, Lord. yeah, this is cool. But again, when we're in a leadership position and we want to encourage people to get involved in ministry, as leaders, we have to say, okay, I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to help you. You're not on your own. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to encourage you. I want to come alongside you. I want to encourage you in whatever gift or ministry you're going for. So I think that's really commendable. And I always look up to servant leaders. Leaders that are willing to help. They're just not leaving you there. And okay, yeah, you go do that. I'm up here. You know? The story gets more intense and we go into a rated R movie with a spike in the head here coming up. So he flees, the commander of Sisera, he flees, he goes to the tent of this Canaanite family. Now, okay, it's kind of dicey to me, don't you think? Like, you're a woman, you're outside your tent. Like, I don't know about you, but I have boundaries. I don't invite men. If my husband's not home, I'm not like, oh, come on over, so-and-so, and we'll hang out. Right? It's just not honorable. It's not respectful. And I was like, what's going on? Like, why would she do that? And then I guess, as I'm reading here, in some commentaries, mentioned that some of their traditions, when you saw a sojourner, okay, someone that has nowhere, they're going, they're on the run, there's a hospitable, okay, understanding, especially in these Kenites. They were like nomads, going back again, like we heard about Moses, right? He marries a Kenite, remember his wife, Zipporah? So they're in the desert, they're shepherds, they take care of sheep, they're experts at picking their tents and moving them and then putting them, you know, getting them established again. So this most likely, a lot of times too, the men had their tents, the women had theirs. So here we go. He went into possibly a harem. Probably not where you're going to look for a man in the run. So it was the least place, you know, to find someone probably. And she goes ahead and she covers him up, and it says like with a blanket, or some versions say rug, covers him up with something, and he asks for water. Now, she doesn't give him water, she gives him milk, a skin of milk. Now, if you look, if you have time and you want to look at Judges 5, in Judges 5, it mentions curds in the milk, which is fermented milk. Could have been alcoholic, maybe not. I mean, I like the fermented drink called kombucha or kombuka. That's not an alcohol, but it is fermented. Good for your stomach, in case you want to know about probiotics and all that good stuff. But yeah, I like health. I like studying about health. So she gives him water and milk, but maybe with the water, maybe she had to go to the well to get it. And she just looked around. What's accessible? Oh, I have this milk here. And maybe it made him sleepy. You know, some of us that are moms, we gave the milk when the babies were little, right, to get them tired. And then, let's see what I have in my bag. Mm-hmm. Then came this. Yeah. It is. It's a railroad spike, actually. And I wondered if it was maybe longer, depending on the size of the tent. So, here we go. So when Deborah prophesied and said, you know, it's going to be the hands of a woman. That's where this battle is going to land up. And here it's actually through Jael, who's married to the Kenite, who's, you know, basically related way back to Moses. Just an incredible story. So we start the chapter with Jabin, or King Jabin, however you want to say. He's oppressing the people. And at the very end, the king is hunted down, and then he's killed. So we have quite an interesting historical account here. In chapter 5, now if you look at chapter 5, the whole chapter is a song of Deborah and Barak. So both of them singing together. Now, again, in my studies, again, they probably were musicians, Deborah and Barak. You got to have some skill. The other possibility is there might have been a choir of priests and Levites that also joined in, and they would all play together, possibly, you know, a spontaneous or improvisational. And she might have been the director. She could have been directed them together with Barak. We don't really know. But the song is over the triumph over the enemy, the celebration of God's reign and rule. She refers to herself as the mother of Israel here, and that she is a great servant. And after this, there was no war for 40 years. So, you know, you look at the story and you try to glean from, you know, what's happening here, you know? And I think the hard part that I had in studying this, or what I struggle with, was, you know, Deborah, like the gruesomeness of the story, you know, because we don't really, you know, God's not telling us to go and kill this person or that sort of thing, right? Hopefully not. but again, in the Old Testament, they were under the law, and, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? And now that we're not under the law, we have a new covenant. That's the beauty of God. And so we have to have that to understand the second covenant. First covenant, I call the Old Testament. Second covenant, the New Testament. Again, the character of God is revealed in this story. He's jealous. I don't know that song, but... That's okay. I've been there, done that. My phone's in here, but it is turned down. Yeah. God is jealous. He wants us 100%. He wants our hearts. He wants us to follow him with everything, with all our being. And that's not easy. My husband says, you know, loving God and loving your neighbor, you know, like Jesus says, the two greatest commandments. That takes a lifetime to figure out. You know, loving God, loving your neighbor. So God is jealous. In his mercy, he raises leaders to help lead. And Deborah, a judge. And then in my reading, as I'm reading along, you know, even 2 days ago, I'm reading in Chronicles. And, you know, have you gone through First Chronicles? Yeah, lots of numbers and rolling through. And First Chronicles chapter 17 says, have I not commanded the judges to shepherd the people? Deborah, a shepherd? Really? Shepherd the people? Yes. Wow. And then this morning at 4 a.m., I was reading again in Chronicles, and now I'm in chapter 25. And we had the heat so hot, I told Dean. Dean had to get up. I got up. We got smoked out of our bedroom. It was so hot. I was like, anyway, I'm in chapter 25. And here, you know, like I think most of the parts of the Bible, like we see a lot of men leading in Old Testament, and it's wonderful. And I think that's wonderful. I think men should lead. And then I read there's a prophet or a priest under David who has 17 kids, 14 boys and 3 girls. And it says they all served in the temple. They led in worship and they played the lyres and they prophesied while playing their instruments. Wow. I'm like, whoa, this is cool. God, he's no respecter of persons. He is just. He gives discipline to us. Have anyone feel disciplined at times? Or know your discipline? I know I have. And I've been humiliated. At choir, some of you. I'm there and I walk up and don't I trip over that podium, eh, Becky? Not once, but twice. And I fall. Right into the chairs. Oh, yeah. This morning I wake up and... And this morning I wake up with the biggest red pimple on my nose. But there's makeup. So, yeah. The battle belongs to... Look up the scriptures. They're so good. The battle. What battle are you is raging right now in your life? You know, maybe it's health. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's relational. It does not belong to you. And we take it up and we carry it and we're like pack animals. Well, we're sheep. We're not meant to carry heavy loads. We have the Lord. And I love Brother Ken Overman. I don't think Gail's here, but he always says, let's look to the Lord. Let's look to him, not us. Second Chronicles 20:15. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. For Samuel has another one. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is made ready for the battle, But the victory belongs to the Lord. And our war that we're going through is not really a physical one right now. It's a spiritual war, one we cannot see. And this goes right in line. Praise God, eh, Joyce? Like, Joyce and I chatted, and she said, oh, what's your theme and all this? Well, it was all floaty around. And I said, well, Joyce, I'm still working on it. And she said, well, how about this song? I'm like, praise God, that's where I'm going. But it wasn't, like, completely clear, but then it was getting clear. And then, you know, just the music you chose, praise God. And we were just together. Oh, just, it's exciting. Fireworks going off. Ephesians 6:12. Again, you quoted Ephesians 6, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. We can't see it all the time. But you know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was opening up and telling me the struggle she's having with someone in her family. And I said, you know what? God's exposing the evil. It's coming out. Look at it that way. Don't look at it as, oh, no. No, it's good. God is revealing this to you so you can see what's happening. No, you know how to pray. I don't understand that verse, you know, like against the rulers, against authorities. So there are spiritual cosmic powers that are at work. And if you read Daniel, you see that, you hear about that. We don't know. We only can see with our eyes, but the Lord can open our eyes, and we can realize how we need to pray. Exodus 14:14. And this one, I think, is for a specific situation. God might give you this verse. Maybe sometimes we need to speak out and declare truth. This one says, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. So sometimes we don't have to say anything. We just pray. And I feel like a lot of times prayer is like a substitute action. It's the last thing we do. We try this. We go in our own power, our own might, and then we pray at the end. Like, we have to learn to pray first. Lord, even simple things, you know, just the small things of life, will go to the Lord in prayer. So as I mentioned earlier, prophets, priests, kings, even the judges were anointed for a specific task, for a specific purpose, and everyone else, no, they didn't have that supernatural ability. But in Joel 2:28, there's a prophecy that says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Everyone will have access. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus ascended into heaven, what happened? The disciples, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, they're in the upper room and praying. And that's 50 days after they experience the Holy Spirit and receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And again, they proclaimed with boldness. Something amazing when there's a meekness and a gentleness, but a boldness to speak God's word. And they were commissioned to go into all the world. Each one of us has a calling. Each one of us has a purpose. And yes, he's called us out of darkness into his glorious light. But there are more things for us to do. There's a lot that needs to be done. 1 Peter 4:10, 11 says, we should use whatever gift you have received to serve. You have to receive that. Sometimes maybe we don't want to receive the gift. We don't want to do that. Or we, you know, we have to receive. And when I first came to Bethel, I was just so, like, humbled and blessed at the amount of people serving. Like, I was like, whoa, look at all those mature Christians in the kitchen. Whoa, look at these people. You know, we'd talk or there'd be a ministry opportunity and people like, yes, I want to do that. And I'd be like, whoa, no grumbling? This is awesome. Wow. We're called out. We're called to be separate. The church is called, it's God's witness to the world. We are his witness. We are his witness to the world. And God called me to do something that normally people don't normally minister in this way. And I was asked to speak about this about 8 years ago by Kathy Biederman. And I said, no, I can't talk about it. I didn't feel, because I was in the thick of it in this ministry, and I was like, I don't want to talk about this. You know, like, I don't want people to think, you know, oh, there's Suzanne, like, just talking about herself, and she's all that, and she knows everything, and she's a know-it-all, and all that, you know? I'm like, oh, I don't want people to think this of me. You're so cute, Carol. I love you. So, what? No, I know. Carol's a love. I love Carol. She's a sweetheart. And so for about 2 years, God wanted me to go into Studio 10. See? Huh? What? I'm like, come on, Lord. You don't want me to do this. He's like, yep. I'm like, no. So I put it off, and God, I just kept feeling that prompting. And so then I landed up, you know, talking with, I found out from another source that there were some ladies that went in to minister before. And I'm like, really? Who are these people? I got the phone call. I was like, hello, you know, and God, you know, we got talking and God was setting it up. And then we're like, okay, all right. And then I read the book called Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. And in that book, he talks about a ministry called Scarlet Hope in Louisville, Kentucky. And this ministry goes to 20 strip clubs with teams of women, and they bring food, and they go in, and they pray with them. Yeah. And I was like, wow. And the leader of the ministry is Rachel Starr. I think she still is. So I thought, I'm going to call her. And I did. And I talked to her, and she gave a lot of wisdom and said, this is what we do. Before we go in, we pray. We say, Lord, the things you want us to see, help us to see. Things you don't want us to see, blind us. Okay. Okay, Lord. Okay. So we prayed, and I had a friend that was a fairly new Christian, and right there I'm like, I don't know about that, Lord. And he's like, yeah, bring her. I'm like, okay. And then there was a few other people that also wanted to, that heard about it. And did you know the Eat, Pray, Love, Serve that happened here, how many years ago? Years ago. 8, 9 years ago? Christine led that one? Christine Horst knew about the ministry. I told her a bit, and she heard about it. So then she said, well, we want to give a full dinner. Eat, Pray, Love, Serve. People involved. And that's how I got to meet a few people, and people from Bethel that I got to meet was through that. So we went in and we prayed, and honestly, I didn't see any nudity at all. None. I couldn't even, when you walked into this, the joint, the House of Ill Repute, as they say in Downton Abbey, those that watch that, there's all these pictures in the hallway of nudity and stuff, and I couldn't even look. My head was like that. And then we got to talk with women and men. And one time a man tried to hit me, and he couldn't. He was like, and I didn't even move, and God stopped that. Mind you, the ministry was about praying with women, and some women, when we walked in, they saw us, and they go, we'd be here, and they go, but the people we got to meet, we met a pastor's daughter who went into this life, and I said, this is, God's not called you to this. God loves you too much. This is not for you. They were, like, amazing. I met a ballerina and an artist who had paintings on the internet for $5,000 a painting. Totally life split apart because of an accident Her and her husband were both on the ballet company of Germany. Here she is in her 50s, an older lady, dancing. Yes, that I met, the people I met, I even met them outside of the studio. We gave them Bibles, we gave them food, we gave them gift cards. But when you go into a place like that, there's a hierarchy, and we learned the hierarchy. You know, we met the owner. And then we did a dinner with him for people who had nowhere to go on Christmas Day at the Verde Hall. It was amazing. God was, whoa. And when I got up to pray, I'm being pretty real with you all, for the dinner, didn't his relative come after me and grab me so hard on the arm? I mean, it was crazy. How dare you? How dare you pray? How dare you pray? Whoa. But you know what? Blessed are those who are persecuted. And we had talked about it as a team that we were going to pray because it was Christmas Day. But that was that was physically like shocking to me. But again, in the end, like at Scarlet Hope, they had strip club members come to Christ. They had strip club members, also girls that left the lifestyle. And that was not what we tried to do. We didn't go in there and try to say, get out of here, get out of here. We went to love them and show them the love of God. And some of them, when I saw them, I never saw them again because they moved them around. It's almost like trafficking. They don't want the same. There were a few girls that were always from town, but now we know it burned to the ground. It burned to the ground. Yeah. And the only thing with that is the prostitution goes under more, right? And it goes to brothel houses. But the days are evil. And I have to encourage you all, whatever God is calling you to do, don't let because I'm a woman hold us back. Sometimes I think that's kind of an excuse. Well, I'm a woman. I can't, you know, talk to that person, or I can't, you know. I think about it, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't really want to go in, but God wanted me to go. And he made the way. And there are people in this room that supported that ministry here today through prayer, through donations, through food. So bless you for helping. In Ephesians, it says 2:4. I know I'm giving you a lot of word, but I got to. But God, being rich in mercy, raised us up with him, seated us in heavenly places in Christ. You know, at the beginning of the story, it says Deborah was sitting. She's listening, she's resting, she's sitting. And who we are in Christ, we are sitting in Christ. That's one position. Second position in Ephesians 4:1, it says, therefore I implore you to walk in a way or in a manner worthy of your calling with which you have been called. Walk. And here in the middle scripture where it says, and Deborah arose. She got moving. And my third point is stand. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full so that you will be able to against the schemes of the devil. Stand. It's interesting when she said women walk with their feet closer together. It's interesting, you know. And when you take singing lessons or whatever you do, when your feet are a little farther apart, I tell the choir this, you're more balanced. But, you know, when you're young, you know, you try to walk like a model, you walk on the line. You know what I mean? When you're little, I did all that to try to train my body. But to stand, put on the full armor of God every day. Put it on. It doesn't sound like it's a magical thing. We have to do that. And we know all the parts. But again, prayer. Prayer is where the power is, and that's where we are. And at the end here, Deborah, here in, I think it's chapter 5, where she says, arise, arise. Is God calling you to arise? Is there something the Lord has been telling you, you need to do something? Maybe it's something small, like share with your neighbor. Or maybe it's give money to a certain ministry. Or maybe it's start a new ministry. Maybe it's whatever God is calling you to do, do it with all your might and run toward the prize. I look around in this room and you are mighty in the Lord. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a people belonging to God, the Most High. You're daughters of the Most High King. If God is for you, greater is He. Encourage yourselves in the Lord daily. It says David encouraged himself. Sometimes we're looking to others to lead us. You know, and when my kids were little, even today I said, I sometimes say to my kids, be a leader, not a follower. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Okay, Mom, they leave to go out the door. But be a leader. Be who God wants you to be. People, you know, sometimes they're watching and this is it, you know. And when we make mistakes, we make mistakes. When we sin, we sin. But again, back to the Father. And He loves us. And now we don't have to go through that cycle. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the joy. We have the infilling. We have the Lord with us. We don't have to struggle like they did in the Old Testament because they didn't have the power in them. What's the difference between the disciples? When Jesus died, what did they do? Gone. Who were at the cross? Who were around? The women. They were probably less, threatening. Oh, they're just the women. But the men were... But after the Holy Spirit came upon them, you see the change in character, the difference when they are filled with the Lord, filled with His Spirit. You know, we can be filled with all kinds of things. We can be filled with fear. We can be filled with, right? But are we filled with the Lord and what He has for you? God is so good. And I just want to encourage you all that I see you. As people of God, the Most High, and the work that you have done, and the prayers that you have prayed, God has heard you. And the things you've struggled with, the Lord has suffered with you. But He will give you the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. You are a good God. And you see our hearts. You know where we're at. You know our comings and goings. You know when we get up and when we sleep. You know where we are and where our hearts are at every moment. And Lord, I just pray that as you work in our lives, you peel off the areas that you want to peel. Help us to be pliable. Help our hearts to be soft and loving towards people. Forgive us, God, for missing opportunities to spend time with you. Forgive us, Lord, for not always wanting to be obedient to your word. And we run the other way. But thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, that does not know you, Father, I pray that as you call them, their heart would be soft and the ground would be pliable and the roots would grow deeper and deeper. And those of us here, Lord, that have been in the faith for many years, and they are women of faith, Lord, I pray that you would give them, Lord, your Holy Spirit in a powerful way. Move in their lives like never before. May you, Lord, be glorified and lifted up, Lord, because you are worthy of everything, all praise, glory, and honor. We know the days of this world are evil. What's happening in our government, what's happening around us, Lord, we cry out to you and we say, God, move in an awesome way. Let there be a revival of hearts come to you, Lord. This is the last days, Lord. And you said you will pour your Spirit out on all flesh. We are there now, God. We have seen the signs of the times. The days are we're coming to the end, Lord. And just like Noah in the boat, God, like we have to be ready because there's a flood coming. And we know, Lord, you are coming back. But we know, Lord, there is more destruction that's coming this way. But God, we pray that we would have a burden for souls, for our loved ones. God, use us and direct us. And Lord, protect us, protect our minds. Thank you, Lord. The battle is not ours, it is yours. And Lord, speak to every heart here, we pray. In the name and the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. May God be glorified and lifted up. Blessed be the name of the Lord.